Jesus' name we press on. Dear Lord, with the pride there before our eyes, we find the strength to press on.
Let's sing that chorus again.
Take the prayer request tonight. We've got a lot of requests, so we'll just take those, and then we'll ask Brother Gene Lehman, if he don't mind, to come and pray over these requests. First request is pray for Brother Charlie Torres. He's home, not feeling well. Brother Tim Mullins would like us to remember his dad has an intestinal blockage. Also, Sister Sylvia Duggar is sick, unable to be in church tonight. Eden Hara has strep throat. Brother Gary and Sister Lona turns that in for her. Sister Linda Babb, sick, not able to be in church tonight. Also, Brother Dan Dyer. Also, Angela Brown, healing in her body. For Sister Ellis from West Virginia, she's having several tests Tuesday and Wednesday. So let's remember that. Also, a prayer request for Brother Dave Cook from Canada. He had a colon surgery this past Monday. Doctor removed the cancer. They said it was the size of an orange, and according to the doctors, the cancer has spread. So they're asking for our prayers in that situation. Also, Marge Cook, it's his sister, Brother Cook's sister, last weekend was diagnosed with breast cancer. So let's remember that request. Sister Sandy Baggett has a urgent unspoken prayer request. Let's remember that tonight. Brother Reese asked us to pray for his aunt, Ruth Monroe. She's having a lot of trouble with her hip. Also, this is from Brother Troy Habiger. I've been struggling with an illness for over 2 years now and finally took me out of my job, and the symptoms have grown worse. He's claiming his healing and asked for prayer in that situation. Prayer for Martha Sacker. She's sick with a sinus infection. Brother Kirk turns that in. Brother Josh Snodgrass sent in a request for his dad. He'll be flying out Tuesday, going to West Africa. Pray for strength. So let's stand tonight and take, there's a lot of needs to remember tonight, but let's take those to the Lord tonight. That's Brother Gene.
Just bow our heads tonight. Heavenly Father, we want to invite you into our service tonight, Father. We want to invite you among us, Lord, and God, that you would just come and hover over us, Lord. And Lord, may we feel the warmth of the Holy Ghost, Lord, in our midst tonight, God. That, Lord, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth tonight, Father, that you might, God, have the uttermost part of our lives, God, tonight, Father. We come tonight, Lord, knowing that, God, that all things work to the good of them that love you and are called according to your purpose. We know, Father, that you're a healer, God, that you're a savior, you're everything, God, you're every attribute, God, that you had before there was ever a world. And God, we stand tonight, Lord, knowing, God, that only you, God, can heal tonight. And we are already healed because you were striped, Lord, for our healing, Lord. And we're holding a host, God, of people that need a touch, Lord, in their body, Father. Many names, God, we don't know, but they were made known, Lord, and they were made in the midst of this congregation. You know each one of them, Father. Lord, I have a granddaughter tonight, Lord, that's going to face a very serious operation. And she don't know you, Lord. But God, I know that you're a healer and you're able to help her through that operation, Father. And many others, God, here, Brother Dan Dyer, Lord, there's many, Father. God, we know that, Lord, need a special touch in their body tonight, Father. We pray for the word tonight, God, that you'll anoint Brother Terry tonight, God, that our hearts will be receptive, God, to receive that you have for us, Lord. And we pray for Brother Don and him, Lord. Brother Don and his wife, Lord, Lord, making their way back home tonight, Father. We just pray that you'll watch over them, God. Bring them back safely, Lord. We know, Father, we'd like them to be here, God, but Lord, I know that even, Lord, he needs rest at times, Father. So we pray that you'll give him that rest, God, that he'll come back so refreshed, God, that he'll come back, Lord, with something in his heart and life, and he'll bring something to us, Lord, that will stir our hearts, get us ready for a body change, Father, we pray. Bless this service tonight. Bless every phase of it, God. May you have the uttermost seat in our lives tonight, God. We'll honor you and we'll praise you for it all. We'll ask it all in your name for your glory, Father.
Amen. You can be seated tonight.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longs after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you alone may my spirit.
Third verse again.
I want you more than gold or silver, only you can satisfy. desire and I long to worship Thee.
Amen. If the brothers would like tonight to come and lift the offering, we have just a couple announcements. The arrangement for Kim Horniak's funeral service. The viewing is going to be from 5 to 6 p.m. Sunday, February the 12th at Hathaway Percy Funeral Home. And Elizabeth and the service will begin at 6 p.m. And they just want us to continue to keep that family in your prayers for losing that young lady and their family. Brother Jonathan Savari, I think, has a song for us. If he wants to come and just get on the platform, get ready, we'll sing one more song and then have him sing for us. Let's sing My Theophany in G.
One day I'm gonna take a step toward my theophany. One day I'll take another step into my theophany. One day I know my final step is going to set me free. My theophany, I hear it calling. A little higher into the perfect word. Oh, come on, a little higher into agape love. Come on, a little higher, soar through the heavenlies. My theophany, I hear it calling me. Help me sing. For my theophany, oh, they'll take another step into my theophany. One day I know that final step, it's going to set me free. My theophany, children, should death knock on my door? Oh, death is a doorway that leads to that heavenly shore. Over there is no heartache, no sorrow, grief, nor pain, just perfect love, peace, and joy beyond. Step toward my theophany. One day I'll take another step into my theophany. One day I know that final step, it's going to set me free. My theophany, oh, I hear it calling. To slay that old enemy around the next curve, I see Jesus coming for me. One day I'm gonna take a step toward my theophany. One day I'll take another step into my theophany. One day I know the final step, it's going to set me free.
My theophany, I hear it calling me.
Thank you. Sometimes I let go of your guiding hands. But even when I let go, oh, let go of me, you're the love of my life. There's no one else before you. The evening star, the brightest star in my heart. And even when I let go, oh, don't let go of me. Even when you seem far away, you are still here. Never left me alone. Even when my heart is breaking, I will still praise. 'Cause even when I strain, you're never far away.
Appreciate that song tonight. I think he wrote that song as well, so appreciate that. Very good. Let's stand tonight. Brother Terry's going to come and preach for us. Ask Brother Harry to sing Christ Alone as Brother Terry comes tonight. Let's just join Brother Harry and sing that as he comes.
Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won. For I've been blessed beyond measure, and by His strength alone I overcome. Oh, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hands. But those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone I place my trust, and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope. In Christ alone I place my trust, and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope. Is Christ alone.
Hallelujah. I don't think there's a more appropriate song that a Christian could sing than Christ alone. He's our hope. He's our desire. He's our bridegroom. He's our Savior. Everything that we have need of is in Christ. Every word of this Bible speaks of Christ. We'll see that in just a few minutes. Tonight I want to do something maybe a little bit different than we've done in times past. My thought tonight is actually going to be perfectly in line with the series that Brother Donnie brought some time back on Ruth and Boaz. It'll perfectly in line with what he's been bringing on the prodigal son. And that wonderful quote that he quotes so many times out of the church age book, you did not become seed by the rebirth, but because you were seed, you could be reborn, for in non-seed there's nothing to quicken. Certainly is to me, one of the foundational, fundamental quotes and statements of predestination. I mean, we were seed, therefore we could be quickened. We have that representation. We've been given that. God placed that when we come into this earth. That's a wonderful, wonderful revelation. A wonderful, wonderful revelation. And so we want to look on something that's actually very simple. I've been actually studying on this for about 2 years. You say, Lord, have mercy. We won't get out of here for Monday. Well, if I can just condense it down, maybe we can. And I will certainly not try to hold you at any length. I certainly enjoyed Brother Dale Smith being here. He preached to us, and fire shut up in your bones. And that was really good. And Brother Dale bringing to us what he did, you know, about the sought out and the seeker. You know, I'm glad that we're the sought out, and I'm glad he's the seeker. I want to talk to you tonight a little, if I should give it a title, Christ Hiding in the Seals. Christ Hiding in the Seals. Now, if you can be turning with me to the book of Daniel 12 and also Matthew 13 while you're standing, and we'll look at this in just a minute. Brother Donnie made a statement here recently. He said, if you think those seals are just the four horse riders, then you better get to praying. And I, sometime back, well, actually, is Brother Wes Wells, is he here tonight? Where's Wes at? Anyway, back sometime a couple of years ago, might be a little bit longer, he got the young people to write in a lot of questions and had the ministers kind of discuss them on the Friday night meetings and some of the questions. And one of the questions that someone wrote in was a very simple, elementary question, and the question was, what is the seven seals? You say, Brother Terry, you mean you're going to talk about the seven seals now? What a boring subject. Well, let's think about it. First, you say, well, you're going to give us some more facts about the four horse riders and the fifth seal, the souls under the altar, and the sixth seal, the tribulation. No, I'm not going to give you any facts about any of those. The first six seals really has nothing to do with the bride. That was the Antichrist, the four horse riders, down through the church ages. Tonight we're going to learn what are really the seven seals. What does it really mean? What are the seven seals? I mean, that question that whoever that young person was asked, what are the seven seals, was a very, very good question. Amen. It's not just four horse riders. It's not just the souls under the altar of those 6 million Jews and all the Jews that's been slain and martyred, and 144,000. It's not just the tribulation period, those two prophets of Revelation 11. That's just a part of it. What really is the seventh seal? Now, if God will help us tonight, we will learn what really the seven seals are. You say, well, I already know that. You can rejoice with me while we talk to the others, okay? I thought I knew what was seven seals was. I thought, well, that question that the young person, what's the seven seals? I said, and something spoke to me, do you really know what the seven seals are? I began to look in this a little bit more. So it might behoove us to do that. In Daniel chapter 12, we'll read it first and then Matthew 13, 10 through 17. You got it? Daniel chapter 12, we'll read verse 4, then verse 9, and then verse 10. Daniel 12 and verse 4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Verse 9, and he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried. But the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Amen. I want you to hold that word understand. Yes. We're going to touch on it several times. The wise shall understand. We're reading over in Matthew 13, verse 10. Before we read at verse 10, you could go back to verse 1 and get the setting. And the setting here is where Jesus is down by the seaside and there's great multitudes have gathered there. And he talks to the great multitudes in parables. And he tells them some parables. Down in verse 10, he answered and said it to them, well, it's verse 10, and the disciples came and said to him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Now he's speaking to the multitude, mixed multitude. So the disciples saying, why are you speaking to them in parables? Now there's two groups here. There's the them group, and then there's the us group. Matthew 13, 11, and he answered and said it to them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever hath what? Hath a teachable spirit, have a gene seed. Whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. So if you've been given something by God, a gene, representation, God's going to give you more. Now, there's two groups. There's the them group and the us group. Let's read about the them group, verse 13. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. Hold that word understand. Like Nicodemus, he was a great ruler, come to Jesus by night. He didn't understand. How can a man be born again? They don't understand. Verse 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is lack gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes, this is a them group, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted. You mean understanding has something to do with conversion?
Amen.
Now let's look at the us group, verse 16. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? Now, while you're standing, I want to read this quote in Christ the Mystery. Christ the Mystery, I think it's paragraph 121. He is the principal theme. Do we have it? This is going to be the theme of my thought tonight. He is the principal theme of the entire Bible. If you read the Bible and you don't see Christ in every verse, go back and read it again. See, if you can't see Christ in every verse of the Bible, then you read it again because you've missed something. The Bible is Christ.
Amen.
He is the Word. When you read in the beginning, God created, there is Christ. See, from that to the Amen in Revelations is every word testifying of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord Jesus, we're happy, Lord, to be in thy presence. We ask, Lord, that you would hide me behind the cross. Lord, there's one thing that I desire is to get myself out of the way, because I have nothing that I can offer. It would just be a lecture, or it would just be information. I don't want it to be neither. I want it to be revelation. I want it to be understanding, divine understanding. And Lord, would you do that for us tonight? We invite you to do that for us tonight. And Lord, when we go from the place, we could say it's been good to be in your presence and to be in the house of the Lord. You help us tonight, and we'll give you praise in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. God bless you as you're seated. He is the Bible. He is the Word. If you don't read Christ in every word, go back and read it again, because you've missed something. Now, I remember a minister saying some time back, he said, it stumbled me for some time how that you could, every word, if you don't read Christ in every word, go back and read it again because you missed something. Now, all the good things, of course, we could see apply to Christ. But the things that we read in the Bible about evil and adultery and lying and cheating and stealing and mischief and sodomy and all the evil of the Bible, how do we find Christ in all that evil? Well, it's very simple, because the good things are Christ, and all the evil things, Christ is a solution for it. So you find Christ in every word of the Bible. Christ is the revelation of the whole Bible, Brother Branham says. Christ is all the fullness, fulfilling all the prophecies of the Bible, is met unconditionally in Christ Jesus, because he was God manifesting in the flesh. In every word we find Christ. Christ is the Bible. He's the theme is Christ. The message is Christ. Boaz typified Christ. The focus is Christ. He's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. It's all about Jesus Christ. I mean, that's what the Christian religion is all based upon, is the Lord Jesus Christ. In him alone. That's why I had him sing the song, in Christ alone. It's altogether Christ. Now we notice in our text in Matthew 11, and he answered and said to them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it's not given. That within itself tells us there's a certain, you say, well, God is not a respecter of persons. No, he's not a respecter of persons, because the Bible says he's not a respecter of persons. But then you sufficiently explained to me how that he could love Jacob and hate Esau. You explained to me in detail, really, predestination. Explain to me in detail. That's God's sovereignty. It's up to him. It's altogether up to him. That's not for me to understand. It's just for him, for me to believe. But I do understand. I was part of him. I'm part of him. I was with him before the foundation of the world. I'm a thought. I'm a gene seed. I understand that part. And that came by revelation. And I thank God for that. But to them it's not given. Let's look at this word, mysteries. Mysteries, plural. Now, remember in Revelation 10:7, it's mystery singer. Talking about, you know, in the day when the seventh angel shall sound, the mystery of God shall be finished. The mystery of God. What is the mystery, singular? The mystery of God. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. But there are many mysteries. Now, I like this word, mystery. It comes from a Greek word called mysterion, which comes from a word, a derivative of the word muo, which means to shut the mouth. Now, God knows when to speak and when not to speak. A lot of the time when he was being examined by Pilate, he said nothing. He knows when to be quiet. He knows when to talk. Yeah. Brother Ben said about the bride, she knows what's done with the word. Sometimes we need to just pray that God help us to know when to talk, be quiet. Yeah. Amen. Now, this word, this definition of mystery, I love this word definition. I wish I'd have put it up on the board, because we could really, really could dwell on it. This mysteries, plural, means a hidden, listen to this, a hidden purpose or counsel, a secret will of men or of God, the secret counsels which govern God in dealing with the righteous. the secret counsels which govern God in dealing with the righteous, which are hidden from ungodly and wicked men, but plain to the godly. Boy, I just love that. Mysteries. To them it's not given, but to you it is given to know the mysteries. Aren't you thankful for the invisible union? Aren't you thankful for the mighty God unveiled before us? Aren't you thankful that the prophet of God received the king's sword in this generation, in this dispensation of time? The word in the hand. Oh, God, how thankful I am that God sent us a word in this day. So that we might understand. That we might understand. We won't have to be blinded. We won't have to be deceived. You know, this special class of people, the prophet of God says in another place, he said it's a special prophetic class. What did we do to merit that? Nothing. That's just altogether God. It serves what is the time, he says. He says, now in the 11th verse, he answered, said to them, because it is given to you, his disciples, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but not to them. But to them it's not given, the mysteries. Here's a mystery. A mystery is a scripture, is a previously hidden truth, now divinely revealed, but which is a supernatural element still remains despite the revelation. Even though you get the revelation, there's still a supernatural element still remains. Now, in Revelation chapter 5, the book is mentioned 8 times. That's, of course, before the opening of the seals. In Revelation 10, the book is mentioned 4 times, half as many times, which that's not necessarily significant. But it's not the book, but now it's called the little book. And we know if it's called the little book, then it has to be a smaller book or a lesser number, if you will. So we know that the little book has to do with the bride. And our bride, we found our names were in that little book. It's no longer the book, but it's the little book to the bride. Now, this is after the seals are open. It's the little book. Obviously smaller, as Brother Donnie brought out some time back. Now, the seven seal book. Well, of course, we know the seals opened in 63. Vindicated prophet opened these seals. But yet, there's still a supernatural element still remains, despite the revelation. Now, I remember when I first was listed to the seals, came into the message and rebaptized in 1980, I believe it was, and began to get the reel to reels and put them on cassette and listen to tapes. And I was at the, Brother Phil at the post office, and I was doing my little job running my keyboard and listening to Brother Ram's tapes, 2 tapes a day, 5 days a week for several years like that. And I mean, I was just having a jubilee. I was having a jubilee. And I remember I got down, listened to the seals, and I don't know if it was the first or the second time I listened to the seals, and I got down to that second seal, and he tells about the 68 million that was martyred down through the dark ages, and gets down to the end. He said, there's your second seal. Was his sword red? That's thus saith the Lord. And I called my wife during break, and I said, honey, the whole thing just opened up to me. And I was so happy. I mean, I was excited. You know, begin to understand about the seals. I thought, man, I've gone through the seals and I've listened to them many, 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 many times. I think I understand the seals. A couple of years ago, I think, did I really understand the seals? Man, I could tell you about the white horse rider, the red horse rider, the black horse rider, the pale horse rider, the 6 million Jews, the tribulation period, the souls under the altar, the 2 prophets come on the scene with a great earthquake. I could tell. But what really was the seals? That's what we want to talk about tonight, if God will help us. So I remember this saying. And so that was, as I said, that was a very good question that that person brought up. So we could ask the question now, what are the 7 seals? Or should we ask it, what were the 7 seals? Or should we ask it, what is the 7 seals? How would we term that? What would be most appropriate? Now, we read in our text in Matthew 13, 10 through 17, Jesus explained about the mysteries of the 2 groups I talked about, them and us. And that, of course, now he, that in scripture for me said, it's not given to them to know the mysteries, but it's given to you. Now, that's scripture. He's telling us in scripture, there are certain things that you're going to understand. They're not going to understand. It's not going to be revealed to them. Do you realize that Jesus, it has to come by divine revelation. Even the apostle Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you. Peter did not get the revelation by the flesh of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said flesh and blood, not even his flesh didn't reveal that to you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed that to you. My Father in heaven has revealed. It comes by divine revelation. Okay. Now, that scripture. Now, I'm going to read you a quote now. Let's bring it up to date in the unveiling of God. And we'll talk about spiritual understanding, those that are given and those that are not given. And those that are not given, it's purposely done that way.
Amen.
Let's just see if it's not. Unveiling of God. May the Lord add some blessing to the reading of the Word. Now, my subject this morning, I trust that God will reveal this. And each time, if you want to take the tapes and listen, and I hope and trust that you have had a spiritual understanding of what that God has been trying to get over to the church without saying it right out.
Amen.
See? Without saying it right out. God cannot tell His prophets or let His prophets say everything. He doesn't permit His prophets to say everything. He tells them so much, and that's as far as he can go. Why, during the seventh seal, he got to a point, he said, I got marked right here. Stop right here. That's all he could say about it. Spiritual understanding of what God has been trying to get over to the church without saying it outright. See, it's a thing sometimes we have to say things in such a way it might thin down. Did you hear what I said? Might thin down. It might bring some to go out, some to leave, and some to ponder over. But that's done purposely. It must be done that way. Where's Brother Joel? Why didn't he take my coat off? He takes everybody else's coat. He didn't take mine. It must be done that way. Now, what's that word understanding? Unveiling of God goes on. That it might be that some would say, you mean God would listen to this, that God would purposely do a thing like that? He certainly did. He does yet. He certainly did. He does yet. And sure he does. And he does yet. And he does yet tonight. He does yet in this 20:12. He does yet tonight. Some can receive it, accept it. Some will not receive it, and some just ponder on it and say, I don't know. He certainly does. He does yet. I could ask you, why in the 20-something years that even Brother Donnie's been here, how many congregations have been through Happy Valley? Some can receive it, some can't. Some can receive present day truth, some can't. Some can receive what's preached from this pulpit, some can't. It's not given to everybody. He does yet. He said one day, when he had thousands around him, he said, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, Son of God or Son of Man, and drink His blood, you have no life in you. What kind of a statement do you think a medical doctor, a nurse, or any fine intellectual person would think of a statement like that for a man that had a ministry like that? Why, he would say, eat His flesh, that's cannibal, drink human blood, a vampire. In other words, he wants us to be cannibals and vampires, and the whole audience walked away from him. A whole audience, many, thousands. Then he got down to the 70. One place Brother Ram said they was ordained ministers, the 70 that he chose. And then he said, what will you think when you see the Son of Man ascending up from where he come? And then they left him. And then he got down to the 12, and one of them was a devil. He constantly had to narrow down his group. One of them was a devil. Notice now this striking. Unveiling of God, paragraph 31. And Jesus, listen to that. And Jesus said that to weed down His crowd. I don't believe do you believe that He said that? And Jesus said that to weed down His crowd. He does yet today. Why does He do that? Well, it's very simple. Not everybody has representation. this message is not for everybody. The third Exodus was to call a spiritual out of a spiritual. It's not for everybody. It's for the elected. The whosoever will, the John 3:16, they have a place in heaven. This is for the elected. This is bride time. This is word time. This is seed time. Jesus said that to weed down his crowd, see, till he could get the group together. Oh, I like that. And out of all those people, they, only 11 of them, then, what's the word?
Understood.
Understood. What's it? Understood actually who he was. Understood who he was. They know that he was God and God alone. Now, my subject this morning is to reveal or unveil that God. You think anything is different today? No, sir. He still does it yet today. Now, didn't Abraham have to go through that elimination progress in a sense, you might say, down in Sodom, speaking with Jehovah God? Oh, he had such a, look, the love that Abraham had and the love that Jehovah had. He'd asked God, said, God, if we could find 50 righteous, would you spare the city? And God said, well, pre-adventure, you find 50. Now notice what he said. He didn't say, as Brother Chuck, we were talking about this last night. We had a little fellowship last night with dinner, and he said, that really struck me when I began to read that. He said he didn't say, I'll spare the 50, but I'll spare the city or the place there if I could find 50. Sodomites and homosexuals said, if I can find 50 righteous, I'll spare that wicked city. Not spare the 50, but spare the wicked city. And 45, and 40, and 30, and 20, and 10. So even Abraham had to witness that elimination process. He does yet today. Now in Jehovah Jireh, hold that thought, go just a little deviation here. Now don't want to be in a hurry, but I want to show you something here, you folks. What did God do to Sarah and Abraham? After the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and so forth, if you notice, God took, now you don't have to read the Bible. You have to read the Bible as on the line and in between the line, because it's hid from the eyes of the wise and prudent. Now, the way you find that is to be in love with God. And God will reveal it to you. Oh my, the Bible's a new book after you're converted. Now, we get in trouble reading between the lines. Most people say, I have trouble reading on the lines. I certainly can't read between the lines. But now we're going to read between the lines tonight. We're going to read quite a bit of things between the lines, but I'm not going to interpret between the lines, but I'm going to read between the lines. Now I'm going to let the prophet of God interpret between the lines. That'll make it okay, won't it? Sure will. Yeah. Now in redemption, then we find out people. Now, wait a minute. Too many times people read between the lines. It's not converted. He said, I just read it to you, the Bible's a new book after you're converted. A new book after you're converted. Then you're able to read and with some spiritual understanding. Redeemer, redemption. Then we find out after all these trials and testings, one little part we want to get to, do you like to read between the lines? Why? The best part of the Bible's wrote between the lines. Amen. Somebody show me in black and white, where Abraham and Sarah turned back to a young man and woman. I want to read it in black and white where it says, Abraham and Sarah was made young, 18 or 20 years old. God changed their flesh and made them back young again. It's not there. But we know by divine revelation, he had to make them back young again and make them all together new, because they was married for all those years and never could have children. So he had to completely change everything so they could have children. And some grandma 90 and him 100 years old is not going to have children. The Bible says that they were dead in that aspect. The best part of the Bible is wrote between the lines. Sometimes, you know, you know what I'm talking about when somebody says something, you can read between the lines. My daddy used to say, Terry, do something like that. Okay. He said, Terrence Ray, I could read between the lines. It's time I better begin to do that real quick. I remember when I come out of basic training, right at the end of basic training, rather, everybody comes up and the TI gets your orders and he reads you have been assigned to, what your occupation is going to be in the military. And many times he'll make a little old joke about it. And he got my orders. He said, Airman Horn, helicopter mechanic, Vietnam. He was reading between the lines. The order said, Terrence Horn, helicopter mechanic, period. He said, Vietnam. Well, I never did have to go to Vietnam, so he falsely read between the lines, didn't he? And that's what happens too many times. Some people, they falsely read between the lines. They presume. And we know what presuming is, a venture without authority. Now, let's go on now. Now, we want to find this hidden supernatural element. Now, in the Laodicean church age, now, this messenger of Malachi 4 in Revelation 10:7 is going to do two things. One, according to Malachi 4, he will turn the hearts of the children to the fathers. Two, he will reveal the mysteries of the seven thunders in Revelation 10, which are the revelations contained in the seven seals. So, Brother Terry, do you know what the seven thunders are? Absolutely. They're the revelations contained in the seven seals. He says it right here. Sure. I mean, it don't take a rocket scientist to read that. The revelation contained in the seven seals. It will be these divinely revealed mystery truths that literally turn the hearts of the children to the Pentecostal fathers. Now, let's look real close at the seven seals as we go a little farther here. Now, you got to understand first, God's prophet are not permitted to explain everything. In fact, Brother Bam, remember he got in trouble, and I won't take a lot of time on this, but remember in the tent vision, the parts of the tent vision, he was casting his line out, and he was fishing, he was explaining to the ministers, you know, the techniques of fishing, and he pulled his line in, got his line all tangled up, you know, and said, don't get your lines tangled up in these kind of times. And the angel was behind him, rebuked him and said, I told you not to do that. And what was he doing? Always trying to explain it. You know, he'd say, I love the people so much, I just want to tell them everything that God will permit me to tell them. He's always trying to explain it. He said, now that was the first and second pull. He said, now this third pull, he said, you won't tell nobody. Nobody know it. You won't tell nobody about this third pull. A mystery. He said, you won't tell anybody about this third pull. Now, Jesus said also, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood. He never explained that. And we could go on and we'll just skip this quote where Brother Ram talks about the gift of divine healing. He said it's confused the church. And he said, I know it wasn't right to begin with because what did it do? It caused carnal comparison and carnal, you know, interpretations and so forth like that. Now, at Calvary, we know that the mercy seat become in plain view and the veil was ripped, but they couldn't see it. Can you imagine that? That great big old 6-inch veil of badger skins there right there in the temple there. And God, with that pillar of fire lighted, split that thing from the top to the bottom and just opened it wide open and the mercy seat become in plain view. And they were so blind that they couldn't see the mercy seat there. What did they do? He said they just throwed the veil back up and went right on with their animal sacrifice and so forth. Blinded. God put the mercy seat in plain view, but they couldn't see it. Even though it was wide open to them. Yet they had eyes they couldn't see. They had ears they couldn't hear. They couldn't understand with their heart. It wasn't given to them to know and to see and to understand. Now, let's start with the breach. I want you to put your spiritual bonnets on. The breach, paragraph 105. Very striking statement. Now with the Lamb. Now this is a breach. It's a first message of the seals. Now, with the Lamb with the book in His hand, we are ready to ask His grace and mercy upon us. Remember, this is the us group. To open these seven seal book to us and to let us look past the curtain of time. Look past the curtain of time. Now, wait a minute. I'm a little bit confused now. Now he's going to open the seven seals and we're going to look past the curtain of time. Now the seven seals, as we understand, was a historical
facts about the four horse riders and so forth, but he's going to say, we're going to look past the curtain of time. What did Brother Branham see when he looked past the curtain of time? I ask you, what did he see? What did he see when he looked past the curtain of time? Did he see four horse riders? No, sir. Did he see a red horse, a black horse, a white horse, a pale horse? No, sir. He saw people. What did he see? He didn't see horse riders. Now wait. Now let's look now. I thought the first five seals was just history. But when he was taken there, what did he see? Now remember, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is within you. Can we go a little farther? Now just for the next few minutes, I'm going to give you people the benefit of many, 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 many hours of listening to these seals. I'm going to give it to you just, and you're going to see it on the screen. Now, Brother Branham, all through the first six seals, he gives little hints. Little hints. Little hints. And I thought, wow. So by the grace of God, I went through and I recorded all the little hints. And we're going to read them tonight. All the little hints. And we can't preach on all of them, but we want to look at all the little hints. Starting out, we'll start with God's simplicity, go all the way through in order. God hiding himself in simplicity and reveal himself. Now remember, God hides himself and God likes to hide. God hides himself and then reveals in simplicity. God plays hide and seek. He does. He hides himself and then he seeks for his children to find out the revelation who God is. And you know what's really interesting? Brother J.D., what I was mentioning just a little bit before service, Brother Bam said in one of the demonology sermons that the devil is able to hide himself in your body, in your flesh, and the doctors can't find him many times. There are people I know myself, and we talked about two or three right as I speak. They've done all kinds of tests. Doctors still can't find out what's wrong. We know every sickness is a demon. Every sickness. The devil can hide too. Only for a while. Now, paragraph 3, God in simplicity. You might have wondered, oh, I just love it. You might have wondered a few minutes ago why I was so long coming out. My first duty, as I come, remember the church had been remodeled. My first duty, as I come into the new church, I married a young man and woman standing in the office. May it be a type that I'll be a loyal minister to Christ to get a bride ready for the ceremonies of the day. My first duty was to marry a young couple. What was Brother Branham's ministry was to clothe the bride with the Word of God. But his first duty was to marry a young couple. Let that be a type of what he's supposed to do through those three positive years, 63, 64, 65. Dropping little hints. Also, paragraph 4. Now in this, the reason I'm not announcing prayer meetings for the sick and so forth, because that I'm staying with some friends and I'm giving every minute of my time to study and prayer. And you know the vision that I had just before leaving, going out west, those seven angels coming, flying, so you'll understand a little later. What's that word, understand? Again, God's simplicity, paragraph 17, or page 17 rather. Now, I never draw it upon me something till long, late, wee hours last night in prayer. I began to see something. So I trust this will be a great time, which I believe if the Lord will help us now. God's simplicity, page 57. Let's look at another one. Now this week, we're going to get into some awful deep teachings on the Word. I don't know how it can be awful, but it's going to be awful deep teachings on the Word. It's just like Brother Bram talked about one time, pure jealousy. How can jealousy be pure? And he corrects himself. No, it's not pure jealousy because there's nothing about jealousy. It's pure. He's going to get into some awful deep teachings on the word. Listen, he's dropping hints. Remember, the rapture will be so few in the bride. The prophet God said in the rapture message, he said, the rapture is a revelation. The bride will be waiting for that revelation. Now watch. God's Simplicity, page 60. Now, if you're wide awake, you'll see something. If you're wide awake, it just kind of reminds me, I think somewhere back about the time when he preached the invisible union, he said they failed to see the awakening of the bride. They failed to see the awakening of the bride. If you're wide awake, you'll see something. See, I hope I don't have to hold it into my hand to show you. He can't just come out and plainly tell everybody. See, it's here. We're at the end. Yes, sir. Smart education will miss it. The simple visions, when they're revealed in such simplicity, till it just crosses over the top of their head. Here's another one, God's Simplicity. I want to ask you something. If the blood of a bull or goat be used for a bleach, which can only cover, could a man in possession to speak the creative word of God? Why is he mentioning the creative word of God? Put a man in position to speak the creative word of God and bring flies into existence? Why would you stumble at the bleach of Jesus Christ, who could speak a squirrel or speak something into an existence? Why is he talking about the third pull speaking squirrels? Would you think that's strange that God could do that for a man in this day, in this generation? Could speak a squirrel or something into existence. Don't you do it. Don't stumble over simplicity. Believe that he still remains the same. If there was one theme in his message, was Hebrews 13:8. Again, page 65. Now, church, in the coming messages from tonight on, don't fail to see it. To see what? The day that we're living in. Dropping hints. Dropping hints. Simplicity, page 66. Remember, friend, don't look for great big. You say, God, he speaks in great big things. There'll come a time. There'll be this, that, or the other. Great big things. I hope you're catching what I'm talking about. See, great big things. See, oh, and when this comes to pass, it'll be great big like this. And it'll be so humble, you'll miss the whole thing. Not the great big things. Simplicity. Watch. The breach as we go. Page 69. Now, not knowing these things, but just all that I received of him that I can tell you. Remember, he said, I can only tell you so much. I've told you so that, you know, I believe it was it in our Lord said in, that he received of the Father that he just told and withheld nothing. And so we want to do those things just as they come. Now, if you'll be real wise and pray, I'm sure you'll, what? Understand. Didn't we read something in Daniel about the wise shall understand? The wicked shall do wickedly, but the wise shall understand. Hold that word, understand. Now, if you'll be real wise and pray, I'm sure you'll understand something pretty soon. Now, something I hope is revealed. Dropping hints. Dropping hints. First seal. And it is only to be revealed at the last day when this actual seal is broken. Broken to who? Not to Christ, but to the church. Speaking of the bride. Notice now, oh my, that just makes me tremble. I hope the church truly understands it. See what I mean, you people? I'm gonna call you bride. You know what? I got to look at this not too long ago, and I got to think about it. You know, I quote that all the time. I'm gonna call in the first seal. Here's the prophet God standing up in the first seal. He said, You know, I was talking about the church. We said, oh, but the church says, but I'm going to call you bride. And I quote that all the time. But remember what Brother Mam talked about? I think was in present stage of my ministry, something he talked about. You know, he read 2 Timothy, whatever it is, and that scripture down there. And he stopped right there and said, I never read the rest of it. And I got to, he said, well, read the part that's right after that. I'm going to call you bride. I'm going to call you bride. What did he say? See? Why? That you'll understand. I'm going to call you bride that you'll understand it. The church, Brother David, will not understand it. The prophet of God is, we know that pick up your pen and write, Spoken Word's original seed in 1962. He's saying that there is an infant bride upon the earth that comes to the seals, the first seal. I'm going to call you bride, not church anymore, bride. We know that there's no more Laodicea. Of course, Laodicea runs out to the end. But we have a new age, not named after a city, but the bride age, named after the Lamb's wife. I'm going to call you bride that you may understand. I'm going to call you bride that you may understand it. Oh, my. No wonder Brother Bram said in Future Home, paragraph 195. Now, that's what we've been talking about the other day. The evidence of the Holy Ghost. See, the evidence of the Holy Ghost is when you can receive the word, not some system, but have a clear understanding. That's what he said. And if you don't, speaking about that. Remember, as I said a little earlier, even Jesus speaking to Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven, has revealed it to you. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. Even the flesh of Jesus was not the thing that revealed it. It was the Father, the Holy Spirit. Now listen. Now watch here. Okay, now, let's drop down to the third seal. Dropping hints. I said the pale horse, it means a lot of sickness is coming on. Now I don't know what it means, but that was my interpretation of it. Then because I just took it the best I could stand here at the pulpit, but oh, I almost said something there. On a, you'll see, just watch. Oh, I just would like to just say, well, what was it you was going to say? What was it you just about said, but you couldn't say? Another one, third seal. But this morning early, the Holy Spirit came to where I was, and just as plain as anything, I seen this other seal open up. Now he hears me. I know, I'm very grateful. Now, you'll just remember that there is something happening that I hope you're catching. See? There's something happening. Now listen, he's trying to tell you people, listen now, it's not just the obvious part, but there's something taking place behind the scene. There's something happening. I just want to test the church one time and see if they could actually pick up something before it actually happens. Now remember what I've told you. May the Lord help us. Dropping hints. Are you with me so far? Fourth seal. And actually I've got some that I just can't take them all. Fourth seal. They had false Christ before Jesus time, see? They always do it. It's Satan running out a counterfeit to upset the minds and the faith of the people before the thing actually happens. I put this one in here, so the prophet is telling you people, look, it's Satan's counterfeit, the upset the minds of the people so that they won't catch it when it does actually happen. So they'll miss it when it actually happens. Like the rapture. Listen, let me just ask them. The seventh seal, half hour silence. Why was there a half hour silence? Why was there a half hour silence? Very simple. Brother Bram said if he spoke it out, that the devil could do great damage if he heard what it was. So that's why he said it was a half hour silence. He did not speak it. It's not even revealed in civil anywhere. No man knows. You're saying to me that if the devil knew the day of the hour, even Jesus himself don't know. But if the devil knew the day of the hour that he could do great damage, yes, sir. What could he do? I don't know. But he said if the devil knew it, he could do great damage. That's why he don't know. But the bride, she'll understand. Fourth seal. Now he's talking about Noah, Pharaoh, John the Baptist, and different ones. He said 3:14. He said, now, oh my, notice, yet he gave her space to repent, but she did not. He done it again. She won't do it. Her rejection makes her, or her rejection makes a perfect way for Satan to come into her and be incarnate. Talking about the false beast, the Antichrist, and so forth. Her rejection, she rejected the word and makes a way for Satan to come into her and incarnate her. He goes on to say, I'll just skip part of that. If I had education, I could bring it out. I haven't got no education. I'm just expecting the Holy Spirit to what? Reveal it to you. He will to those who... That's right, he will. Listen, if her rejection of truth made a way for Satan to come in and incarnate himself in them, how much more the acceptance of truth, present day truth, give God a way to come in and incarnate himself in a bride? You say incarnate himself in a bride. Brother Mem said he is the incarnate word and you become the word made flesh. You and me, we got to recognize that we become the word made flesh for this hour. What has God desired for 6,000 years that he might finally get a people that he could give the full word and become in their flesh? God becoming flesh again. The unveiling of God. Oh, my, it's tremendous. Let's go a little bit farther here. Fifth seal. 2 or 3 days after the school was, went to the doctor. Now, he's giving a little testimony about this. Now, I want you to watch this. You're talking about dropping a hint. The doctor was so amazed, talking about the little girl that had leukemia. There was not even one trace of leukemia found in the child. Now, that's instantaneously on the mark. The power of Almighty God to take a bloodstream and cleanse it out right like that and put the pulsation of a new life back in there, because your bloodstream, read between the lines now, your bloodstream is your life mortal and create new cells and clean out the old. And what is it? It's absolutely, I say it, it is a creative act of Almighty God to take a bloodstream that's contaminated with cancer, that's a little fella yellow and puffed out, within just a few minutes, a brand new bloodstream. Brother, I want to tell you, the bride has been given a brand new bloodstream. There's too many people that's got spiritual leukemia. They got a contaminated bloodstream. But God has given this little bride a brand new cleansed bloodstream. What do you call it? You call it the token. The literal life of Jesus Christ. That's what God has given to this little bride. Don't have spiritual leukemia. He's trying to say, how could God do this? How could God do this? The opening of the word. I say it's a creative act. If God could do that in the natural, why can't God do that in the spiritual? No wonder God can come, he can come out in visible union and say the bride, she's justified. She never did it to begin with. She was trapped into it. From the beginning, you was the son of God. You was trapped into it. You wasn't saved on any days. You was always saved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. A brand new bloodstream. A brand new bloodstream. Dropping hints. Oh, mercy. I'm going to call you bride so that you'll understand it. Fifth seal. I believe. I'm not going to speak in his name. I'm going to speak it in my revelation of my faith. What happened in Sabino County the other day? I believe the hour is approaching when missing limbs will be restored. Missing limbs? What about missing people? Missing limbs? What about missing people? Dropping a little hint here. Dropping a little hint there. I believe the hour is approaching when missing. I believe it'll be little too. Missing limbs will be restored. The glorious power of the Creator. I believe if he can make a squirrel appear, what about loved ones appear? If he can make a squirrel appear, what about your loved ones can appear? Is this the hour or is this not the hour? Sure, this is the hour. What are we expecting? A change? A rapture? A translation? What do you think we're looking for? Loved ones to appear. Don't be surprised. I believe he can make a squirrel appear, that there here is a man or a woman that's just got a part missing. And that's the complete animal in himself. Well, God had a whole bunch of people in a church that had some parts missing. But we had the whole word that's been restored to it. There was a lot of stuff missing. But he come back to tie up the loose ends so that it wouldn't all be missing. We wouldn't have all this stuff missing anymore. Glory. Fifth seal. Paragraph 359. He says, have you caught anything? I just wondered if you was, see? Yes, sir. I might not have to tell you then Sunday. Notice. Wonderful. Now. Notice now. Oh, my. He stutters. Oh, my. It's wonderful. I'm glad you. Maybe somebody's catching it. Amen. Dropping hints. Then he goes, question and answers on the seals. Now watch this. Kind of changes his thought just a little bit. Now, I'm not at liberty to interpret, but you interpret yourself. Question and answers on the seals now. Now, then also knowing that right among you, things are happening. See, I know that you don't see it. See, I'm just as positive that you don't see it. See, and you say, Brother Branham, that's a hard thing for you to say that. I know it is. But look, let me just say this now. I suppose this is tape. This is just tapes for yourself and so forth. But let me say this, see, that you don't get it, see. And you're not supposed to get it. Don't try to interpret anything. See, don't try to put your interpretation to it. You just only get farther away. He's telling them people, you're not getting it. And you're not supposed to get it. It's not the hour for you to get it. But there will be some people that will get it. He knew that his parish was not just Jeffersonville. He knew that this message would be taped and go around the world. He knew that. He knew it would probably be years before we actually had a mature bride. Probably. He said, but you're not getting it. You're not seeing it. Question and answer is 458. Now take my advice, as you brother. Don't you put your own interpretation to anything. Now just go and live a good Christian life, because you only wind your way away from the real thing when you get it. See, and you'll only wind your way away again from the thing. And all of you are conscious. Listen. All of you are conscious and know that there's something mysterious happening. Amen. Still, there's a supernatural element despite the revelation. There's something mysterious happening, and it is happening, and I know what it is. It's something that's tremendous, and it's gone right now, and there's not a way in the world for you to see it. And it's but so help me, with this Bible in my hand, I know what it is. Dropping hints. Dropping hints. We're talking about the seven seals. Question answers. And so, but if the church, paragraph 459, you're not supposed to know these things. So don't put no interpretation in anything, see. You just go ahead, just remember what I've told you. Live a Christian life. Go to your church. Be a real life wherever you are. Just burn for Christ and tell the people how you love him. But there will be a people that will understand. What day? What hour? When's the translation? When's the change? When appearing? I do not know. But there is a people, and many of you sitting right in this building, that will understand. The rapture is a revelation. The bride is waiting for that revelation. She will understand. Let's go a little farther. Now, okay, now we've been this far as we close. Let me tie all this up with about five or six other quotes. Now, what is the seven seals? Am I going to give you some facts about the writers? Fifth seal? No, not one. But I'm going to tell you what he said about the seven seal book. Okay? Then we won't have to wonder any longer what really the seven seals are. Souls that are now in prison. Paragraph 129. And what about you, church, that about 6 or 8 months ago here and standing there saying, it's thus saith the Lord. I'm going to Tucson, Arizona. There will be a blast and seven angels will appear. You remember? Not even God making it so real until Look Magazine or Life Magazine it was, took the pictures of it. Spiritual, foresaw, materialized just exactly the same. The seven angels, which brought forth the winding up of the scriptures, cause all the mysteries of the entire Bible lays in the seven seals. We know that is the book. It's sealed with that evened out. It's the mystery of the entire book laid in those seven seals. That's the Lord. Let us bring all the mystery of the Bible lays in them seven seals. I thought it was four horse riders. I thought it was 144,000, 6 million Jews that was killed. Call your attention again. Souls in prison, paragraph 140. No, 138 rather. Don't want to miss this one. This one's outstanding. Paragraph 138. But under the sixth seal where the trumpets open. Remember under there we find out that the Lamb came forth, appeared on the scene. He had left the mercy seat. His work of redemption is finished. And he came forth and took the book. Now listen, don't get confused about when he took the book and when. That's not even important right now. When the book out of right him sat upon the throne and time was no more. And immediately an angel appeared in the seventh chapter of the tenth chapter in the seventh verse saying, this angel came down and swore that time was no longer. But you see, in this book was what was redeemed. What was redeemed? Oh my. It was the book of redemption. And everything that he had redeemed was written in that book. It was the book of redemption. And everything that had been redeemed was written in that book. Now I want you to show you, before we go any farther, how important it was for the breaking of those seven seals. How important. I don't understand how important it was. You don't understand how important it was. We probably won't never on this side. How important it was. But you watch this next verse and remember what he said. Oh, he said now, but you see, in this book was what was redeemed. It was the book of redemption. And everything that he had redeemed was written in that book. All that he died for was written in that book. Your name was in that book. My name was in that book. Everything was in that book. All creation was in that book. All that he died for was in that book. And he could not leave his ministerial seat until he had thoroughly redeemed. And he couldn't redeem it at the cross. Why was it so important that the Lamb was to take that book? Yes, he paid the price at Calvary. He paid the price. It is finished. But there had to come one worthy to take that book of redemption and lay claims on what was in that book. He had to claim his rights. And his rights was everybody was redeemed was in that book. Because John wept bitterly. Why did he weep bitterly? Because if he had not found one worthy to take the book, he said all creation, everything was lost. Lost. He said, I don't understand it. I don't either. But he said all creation would have been lost. Another place said it just would have gone back to the dust and the ashes and the atoms. The Lamb had to take that book. What are the seven seals? I'll tell you what the seven seals are. It's the book of redemption. Everything that was redeemable was wrote in that book. And he couldn't do it at the cross. That's why John wept bitterly. Because he knew all creation would have been lost if one was not found worthy. Because they had predestinated. Couldn't redeem it at the cross because they were predestinated in the Lamb's Book of Life. And he had to stay on there to make intercessions until that last person was finished. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Let's look at another one. Souls are now prisoners. Paragraph 140. But one day he rose from there. Come forth. Where was the book at? It was still in the abstract owner, God Almighty. And John looked around and he wept because there was no man even worthy to look on the book and especially open the seals to reveal what the hidden mystery was. The mysteries was in the seven seals. When these seven seals was opened, that opened the entire Bible. Those seals open the entire Bible. Well, what is the Bible? What is this Bible? This is a book of redemption. It's all redemption. Genesis talks about redemption. Exodus talks about redemption. Moses talks about redemption. Noah, 8 souls were saved, has to do with redemption. Esther is redeemed, is redemption. Ruth and Boaz is redemption. It's all about redemption. The whole book is redemption. That's why he said, if you don't read Jesus Christ in every verse, go back and read it again because you missed something. Why? It is the complete revelation of Jesus Christ, which is the plan of redemption. From the fall, Adam fell, and from that time, God was trying to redeem back his fallen children. Redemption. It's all redemption. Redemption. The mysteries was the seven seals. When these seven seals was opened out, it opened the entire Bible. The seven seals opened the entire Bible. It opened, the seven seals opened the entire Bible. Four horse riders, souls under the altar, tribulation. The seven seals opened the entire Bible. The book of redemption. Hold just a minute. It was sealed with seven mysteries. And these seven seals held the entire mystery of it. And it was the book of redemption, the New Testament. The book of redemption, the New Testament. Two or three more here. And at this point, I'm not responsible. As Brother Donnie said, I'm not responsible at this point. Beyond this, brother, sister, this is life to me. I love it. Jim, I love it. This is my life. I love it. My name, my identity is right in here. The breach. Let's go to the breach. Now he's going back before the seals is broke down. The breach. Now when we're going to the breaking of these seals, you're going to see it goes plumb back into scripture all the way back. For each one of those seals, the whole thing together, the whole mystery lays right here in these seals. See, the entire mystery of the Bible lays in these seals. What is it? The book of redemption. And the seals cannot be broken until that time. I'll prove it in just a minute. The second seal. Paragraph 224. Now let's bow our heads just a minute. Heavenly Father, he's praying. Oh, I just sometimes, Lord, stand here and I tremble. I think of the awful hour that's approaching and there's no way to stop it. It's predicted it would come. Now I thought, why don't the people come and listen and why don't they come and accept it? But of course, I know that you said they wouldn't, so they won't. But there's some that's got their names on the Lamb's Book of Life. And when them seals are thrown open there, they see their names there. And the Holy Spirit speaks to them. Glory. Amen. Brother and sister, that's why he said when you saw the opening of the word, you heard from your theophany. When the opening of those seals, your name was called. Did he call my name Terry Horn? No. I don't read Terry Horn anywhere in the message church. But I saw my identity. I saw my identity right there. I know it's there. I'm glad he didn't say Terry Horn because it might be somewhere else, some Terry Horn out somewhere that's lost. But I'm not that one. You ever go on the computer and type in and do a query? Who is Terry Horn? Who is Jim Babb? Who is whatever? And it tells you all the Terry Horns in the United States. Dozens of them. There's one that's ordained to life. I'm telling you right now, I don't know about the others, but there's one ordained to life. I can say this one thing. If there's one coming out of Tennessee, you best be moving. You say, that's arrogant. That ain't arrogant. That's just faith. That's my revelation. Watch now. When them seals are thrown open, they saw their names there, and the Holy Spirit speaks to them. The fifth seal. Now watch this one. Two, three more. Watch this fifth seal. Oh, let us bow our heads now in prayer. Oh, now he's praying, fifth seal. Oh, Lamb of God, come forward, we pray. We call upon you, Lord, the great Redeemer. Come forth and show us your plan of redemption. That's been hid through the years, breaking this fifth seal. Now, wait a minute. The fifth seal, souls under the altar, which we found to be 6 million Jews. No? No? The fifth seal, plan of redemption in breaking this fifth seal. What about the fourth seal? What about the third? What about the first? It's all the plan of redemption. It's all redemption. Now, right. You say, well, how do you relate these horse riders and so forth with redemption? Okay, let's read the next pair. Let's read the next quote. Fifth seal. This is it here. Watch this close. Paragraph 348. Now, terms of the Bible. These beasts. Now, he's talking about these horse riders now. These beasts are power. Notice, I want you to notice the devil. Now, his four change-colored beast. Go forth. Now, I thought as I was kind of introducing the message, and I said, well, you know, these people, they're going to be saying, you're going to preach on the seals? How boring. Well, I'm not going to talk. As I said, I ain't going to talk about the facts of the four horse riders and the fifth seal and the sixth seal. But now, there may be a group that would be interested in the facts of the four horse riders if you was Roman Catholic. Because that, the four horse riders, pertain to them. The Antichrist. Are you with me? The horse riders? What was the horse riders? The Antichrist. These beasts are powers. Notice that now I want you to notice the devil. Remember he taught years ago, he taught that the white horse rider was the Christ, the spirit of love in Christ, riding his horse and like Cupid shot his arrows of love and so forth. But he said, oh, I would have made a big mistake if he hadn't come into the room this morning. And something I was fixing to say on this first seal. Aren't you glad he came into the room? I want you to notice the devil had his four changing colored beasts to go forth. He had his four beasts. That was all three of them put into the color of one and made that one a pale horse, a white, a red, and a black. And we see each one of those had a stage of his ministry. Who is his? He's talking about the Antichrist, the stage of the Antichrist ministry. The white, the red, the black, the pale. Three stages all mixed into that grisly colored white, red, black, and the pale was all of them mixed up together. Those stages of his ministry, the Antichrist. A stage of the early church that had formed into a denomination at Nicaea. Glory to God, hallelujah. What was all that history about the white horse rider? The red, the black, the pale. It's talking about what the Antichrist system has done, going forth to conquer and to conquer, and his sword was red, and a measure of wheat for a penny, and a measure for a barley, penny, but hurt not the oil and the wine, and so forth. What was it? It was the Antichrist riding down through the dark ages, and the last 2,000 years has nothing to do with the bride, the present day bride. Yes, they were bride in that day. Sure they was. But it was the four stages of the Antichrist power. The beast, the devil, his ministry. But what about the bride? The seals, the real revelation of the seals. What is the seals to the bride? The book of redemption. The little book. He took the little book. What is it? The book of redemption. As I read this, musicians, come on. Let me finish this up. The stage of the early church that had formed into a denomination, Nicaea, the original Pentecostal church upon whom the Holy Ghost was poured out, coming down, took up an Antichrist spirit, formed an organization, gave birth to some daughters of organization, changing his powers three times and put them in one and made a pale horse, and then given a name called Death and rode him into eternity just as plain as it could be. What was it? The devil in all of his three stages, all wrapped up into one, rode it right up into eternity. Well, he's actually talking about right up to the rapture. Don't go into eternity, but up to the rapture. Well, actually, you know, after the millennium, the God, battle of Gog and Magog and so forth. Well, one day that old devil, Brother Harry, one day that old devil will be put in that place that was created for him. That lake of fire, the devil and his angels. And there won't be no more devil. At that time, there won't be no more sickness. There won't be no more flu and anxiety and heartache and old age and gray hairs and having to work on the job and all this. Won't be any more of that. I'm looking for the hasting of the coming forth of the Lord. I'm looking forth for that glorious day. Why do you love the Lord? I tell you why I love the Lord. Because He first loved me. He gave me a desire. He gave me a zeal. He gave me a love. He gave me a purpose. He gave me a life to live. He gave me something to look forward to. He gave me something that I could hold on to, an anchor, my absolute, my love, my life, my destiny, my all in all. All in all, Christ. It's Christ alone. Every word is Christ. If you don't read Christ in every word, go back and read it again because you missed something. It's all about Christ. And everything that's not Christ, He is a solution for everything. Don't you love Him? Hallelujah! Let's give Him a hand praise of glory. How great is our God! Oh, mercy. We got about four more. We'll just read one and quit. I think you got the picture. The breach. Now, He's not an animal. He took the book out of the right hand of Him that sat upon the throne. Who was it? The owner, the original owner that had the book of redemption in His right hand. And no angel, no angelic being, nothing else could take the place. And this bloody lamb walked out and took the book out of His hand. What was it, brother? It's the most sublime thing in the scripture. Amen. The most sublime thing in the scripture. When He took that book, He said He couldn't fully redeem it at Calvary. The lamb had to take that book. Amen. Because He had to lay claims on what He had redeemed. And all that was written that was redeemable was in that lamb's book of life. That little book. Oh, how great is our God. Brother Harry, I wonder if we can sing that little song. You sang it. He came looking for me. You think you're up to that tonight? You know what? He came looking to me. Looking for me. You remember when the prodigal son, and he came to himself. He, this old flesh, had to finally come to himself, the real gene that was in him. He had to come to himself, the real him. This old flesh had to recognize one day, you know what? There's something inside of me, buddy. Let's stand. God bless you, Jesus. Glory! The most sublime thing in the scripture and act, not an angel, no, nothing could do it. The lamb come and took it right out of the right hand, set up on the throne. What is it? It now belongs to the lamb. Brother said, I want to ask you something. In Revelation chapter 5, we just got to quit, got seven more. In Revelation chapter 5, Brother Gene, nobody could look on the book. They couldn't touch the book. Nobody was worthy except the lamb to open the book. And nobody could even look on the book. Nobody could even look on the book. Now that was Revelation 5 before the Lamb took the book. Now, after Revelation 5 and Revelation 10, go down to verse 8, and John had to prophesy again, and the angel told him, now you've got to take the little book. Before nobody could touch it, you couldn't handle it, but now he's commanded to take it and to eat it and consume it, and it become part of him.
Glory!
Glory! Hallelujah! We're commanded to eat the little book. The book of redemption. Eat it. Becomes part of us. Consume it. Sing it, Brother Harry. He come looking for me. We'll worship a minute before we go home. Praise the Lord.
One night while on life's raging sea,
glory,
it looked as if I would suffer defeat. As the blackness of night closed off the light, my heart sank with fear.
Hallelujah.
My desperate cry rang out with pride. All I could see was no hope inside. Faith all but gone. I met the one who came looking for me. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. So far, Jesus was near to rescue my soul and calm all my fear. Now safe from all harm, since I met the one who came looking for me. Oh, Satan had already picked out my grave, planned to move forward to put me away. I drifted so far.
Was a matter of time.
But Jesus appeared and said, this one is mine. I'm saving the Lord, cause I met the one who came looking for me. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. Rescued my soul and gone all my fear. Now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me.
Hallelujah! Oh, I'm so glad God searches for man. Man don't seek for God, but God seeks for man.
Amen.
Oh, aren't you glad that you're hid in Christ? You know, Brother Bam talking about in that fourth seal how that your sins was like a drop of ink that's dropped in that tub of bleach. And it's amazing how he uses bleach all through the seals. Bleach, bleach, bleach. What does bleach do? It totally eradicates the stain. He says the ink becomes the bleach. It comes into the same atmosphere, is dissolved. It's no longer, in other words, there's no longer any evidence. I say about this afternoon, what if Tony or Joe, if somebody stops me and I'm speeding and I get it, he gives me a ticket. And I ask him, I said, Tony, do you have any evidence that I was speeding? He said, why, sure I do. It's recorded right on my radar. Well, what if somehow supernaturally God could zero out that radar and I say, Tony, do you have any evidence? He said, yeah, it's on my radar. I said, read that radar one more time. Oh, it's zeroed out. Well, there's no evidence. Without any evidence, you can't bring a conviction. Brother, I want to tell you what the blood of Jesus Christ the Lamb, he took away the evidence. There is no evidence any longer. There's no evidence. Brother Terry Sproul, when he first came into the message, bless his heart, years ago, he said he had a bunch of hippies that come into, was converted off the streets and come into the message and so forth. He said they used to smoke marijuana and LSD and all this kind of stuff. And said they'd have a drug raid. And he said when they would come in and they would, raid their house and so forth, he said, oh, they would hurry real quick and they would take their marijuana and flush it down the toilet. And the authorities would come in and search around. Couldn't find no evidence. The evidence was gone. Can't make a conviction without evidence. Glory, I hope you're reading between the lines. There is no evidence against this bride. You're just trapped into it. But from the beginning, you never did sin. Let's sing it one more. Sing the second verse one more time, then we'll dismiss and go home. God bless you, saints. I love you. Let's sing it one more time. We'll go home.
Oh, Satan had already picked out my grave. Plan and move forward to put me away. I drifted so far. Would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? destruction was a matter of time. But Jesus appeared and said, this one is mine. And I'm safe with no harm, 'cause he walked through the storm. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He made a way when there was no way that I could see. And I drifted so far, Jesus was near. He rescued my soul and calmed all my fear. Now I'm safe with no harm. I met the one who came looking for me. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He made a way when there was no way that I could see. When I drifted so far, Jesus was near. He rescued my soul and calmed all my fear. I'm safe with no harm. One who came looking for me. One night while on life's raging sea, it looked as if I would suffer defeat. As the blackness of night closed off the light, my heart sank with fear. My desperate cry rang out with fright. All I could see was no hope in sight. Faith all but gone, I met the one who came looking for me. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He made a way when there was no way that I could see. When I drifted so far, Jesus was near. He rescued my soul and calmed all my fear. Now I'm safe with no harm, 'cause I met the one who came looking for me. The Spirit and the Bride are saying, come. The elect to be and stir inside their heart. Desire uniting time has come. We and the Father are one. Soon we'll be with our Lord forevermore. Oh, the evening light has come. The bride is making preparation. She's hearing the shout of her King. The token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside. And the dove meets a lamb once again. A fine linen clean and white is granted to her. Washed in the blood of God's own Son. The righteousness that's not our own, we stand just before His throne, where we'll reign with our Lord forevermore. I'm glad the evening light has come. The bride is making preparations. She's here. Token's been applied.
token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside. In the dove leads a lamb once again.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Lord Jesus, I believe it's been good to be in thy presence. Lord, the words that I say may fail, but your words are never fail. Thank you for the written word. Thank you for the Rhema. Thank you for the Logos. Thank you for the present day truth. Thank you, Lord, for all that you mean to us, Lord. You wrote our names in that little book. God, you manifest yourself. You unveiled yourself. Now, the mercy seat is in plain view. Go with your children tonight. Keep them safe on the highways until we meet again. Take the lovely name with you, people, as you depart. Come back expecting in the morning. May God's servant give you what you have need of. We dismiss you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Everybody says, amen. Amen. God bless you. Dismissed in the name of the Lord. Brother Harry.
Fine linen, clean and white, is granted to her. She's washed in the blood of God's own Son. The righteousness is not her own. She is just before His throne, where she'll reign with her Lord forevermore. Little light has come, the bride is making preparation. She's hearing the sound of her King. The token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside.